everyone, and welcome to Romance of the Two Networks. I am not Six, I'm Jackson Tyler, but I'm joined by Six.
Hey, I'm here.
And I'm joined by M.
Gundam time.
Yep. M's back. Jen is unfortunately out. The full group is not here yet. This is due to schedule reasons. And we're here to talk about three chapters. I'm hosting today because
I think you mean surgery. A podcast united must divide. A podcast divided must remain divided because someone's at a con.
Should have been a two-person cast, but I had a surgery and I was like, that's fine. I'll go back to work the next day. And the next day I was like, oh, I can't stand up or say my name. So I'm here.
Yeah, but I am doing the hosting just because it's a little bit, you got to be, you know, just to be nice, just taking the load off.
Appreciate it.
You are perforated. You can't be hosting while you're perforated.
That's true. If you make me laugh, there will be a good like minute or two where I can't talk because I'm in so much pain.
Okay. Well, I'll try very hard not to be funny.
No, it's fine. Listen, I laugh a lot.
Extremely difficult for me to not be, you know, a real cut up in these podcasts, but...
Yeah, I did. Before we get into the chapters this week, Em, you've not been here for a while. How have you been enjoying the book in your absence?
The book's great. I've also read The Analects of Confucius, and I'm halfway through Mencius, which is like one of Confucius's disciples who wrote a book that's much more cohesive as a book, kind of about the same stuff. And that helped a lot in terms of like grounding my reads on characters, specifically like someone like Xuande, is just the pure Confucian ideal of a character like this. And this book all exists, like when it came out, it exists kind of as propaganda for Neo-Confucianism, like give the people the ideas of Confucianism, not just the rulers, because, reasons, political reasons that we'll probably get into maybe later in the show. Not today, but you know, down the line.
But
it's been good. I like this book a whole lot. I've become a big fan of both Xuande and Cao Cao. I think that they are legendary characters. Cao Cao is fantastic, but he sucks the most, but in like really interesting ways. And Xuande just is trying his best in very hard circumstances. Mm-hmm.
Extreme legends, if you will.
Yeah, sure. I would not, but you could if you wanted.
You could if you were so inclined.
Yeah. But I do recommend, maybe we can append the versions of the books that, I know Jackson, you're reading Analects now that we're reading. It's good. It's good background. Analects is a very breezy read, and Mencius doesn't seem that much harder, honestly, in terms of reading. So the translations that I was given by a friend of mine, Ted, who is an academic about many of these things. Actually, he's like a archivist academic, but he does have an interest in this sort of a field of study. It's been very good. So I'll have more books to recommend down the line because I've got a list of like six things to read side of this podcast.
Well, honestly, I'll be happy to dig in because there are definitely weeks where I'm bummed that I can only read three chapters. So,
well, you don't have to. I didn't.
Jackson,
I
know, you finished the book.
I finished the book, which means I can now go into the wider read, because I was, you know, my own brain anxious about spoilers for historical text. But now I'm free of that burden and can just read around the stuff. The book's fantastic. We're going to have a great time through this podcast. I also picked up The Analects. It is translated by David Hinton is the version that we recommended, and I thought it was very good.
I'm also reading David Hinton's translation of Mencius. You can just get them on Kindle. They're relatively affordable. So,
yes. Now, there's been other things where I'm like, I'm interested in this thing, and the only thing's available, like, £150 academic books. I'm like, well, guess not that.
Oh. That sucks. Was that the historical thing this book's based on?
No, that actually doesn't exist. I thought I had it, but that was actually a translation of a different thing from the 1300s. The only translation of parts of the first historical thing is called Records of the Three Kingdoms, that was like in the 3rd century. The only translation of that I can find are on the fan website for the video games.
Okay.
They have done selected translations of certain officers, but it's not... They don't have all the important ones. It's not done by, like, importance of character. It's clearly done by importance of character to the video game. Mm-hmm.
What?
So there
are
massive black holes.
You're suggesting that there's a difference?
Yes.
I don't understand, but okay.
You'll understand later.
No, I'm joking. I understand.
The video games tend to focus on the earlier bits, is what all is. Yeah.
And then, Six, you built a Zahodun Gunpla.
I did.
Yo!
Yeah. So it's sick as hell. It's based on a robot you haven't seen yet called the Tolgis 3.
We haven't seen it, but we've seen the Tolgis.
I'm sure. It's from Wing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's from Wing?
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's got like a face visor that's like cracked on one side to represent the fact that he lost an eye, and that's optional. You can have it on or off if you want like pre or post eye loss.
Oh, you want post.
Of course you do. Yeah, no, I put it on and never looked back. He's got a big old shoulder cannon. He's got a cool like energy shield. I don't know. It was like a $6 kit. That's sick. I ordered a Zhangfei and a Daochan as well. So those will be here in a couple of days.
I want the Daochan from the other SD3 Kingdoms. It's the Kubali, not the one that you have, which is it's like a Gundam of some kind, right?
It's the Kshatriya. It's a Zeon suit from the future.
Okay.
Wait, there's two Three Kingdoms Gundam things?
Yeah. There's the current one that's airing, and then there's the one that we'll get to like in the middle of Gundam.
So I know there's a new one that's airing, but that's a new one and not like a sequel or spin-off?
Yeah, it's an entirely new one.
They've just done a whole... There are two separate...
You know what's popular, Jackson? Romance of the Three Kingdoms.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. Part of finishing it meant I could go look at, like, the adaptations. I haven't like, dug into them, but I did look at, like, a list of them. And you best believe that all the boxes are ticked. You got the one where they're, like, you know, all boys who are secretly fucking. You got multiple ones where they're all titty ladies.
Oh, yeah.
You know... All the boxes are ticked. The Wrath of the Three Kingdoms content is there if you need it. Found an incredible thread from 2010 where someone was really mad that the 2009 Romance of the Three Kingdoms anime has not been subbed. It still hasn't been subbed. You can't get it, but you know there's a lot of other ways to get that story, so it's fine. But you could get the one that where they were all Moe girls, and they were like, "What is wrong with all you people?" So anime culture remains the same.
Here's an interesting thing from looking at the Gunpla for this. And this isn't... I don't understand what I saw here because it wasn't super well labeled. I was using USA Gundam Store, which is where I get most of my Gunpla. And they have some of the old SD Sengoku stuff.
Yes.
And they also have some of the new stuff. And sometimes it's hard to tell which is which, but as best I can tell... In this new show, there are even mid-season upgrades.
Yes.
Good.
They upgrade their bodies. Because, you know, that's the premise of SD. Is not that they're not people in the machines. They are the machines. And so Zhangfei just gets a better body. What?
It's so he can drink more.
The adaptation that I want that doesn't exist in the world, because we've been reading this and I've been having thoughts about it, is if you've seen Star Trek, the long-running sci-fi franchise, yes! There's an alien race called the Klingons. I'm pretty sure everyone here listening to this knows what the hell a Klingon is. And the thing about Klingons is that in the writing of Star Trek, especially in the 90s, they are like very Shakespearean. They like opera and drama in that sort of way. And reading Three Kingdoms, the writers clearly are just very like... Eurocentric, because Three Kingdoms just describes the Klingon Empire. It's literally almost one for one the way Klingons act versus what's happening in this book. And I really want a version of Star Trek that the Klingons just embrace being Three Kingdoms analogs.
Right, because like they have made in the past the Klingons like Asian analogs in certain eras of Star Trek, but they haven't like, you know, read the book.
Yeah, no, they actually end up being like weird racist Mongol characters in the 60s. But, they're supposed to represent the Soviets. I don't know. 60s Star Trek is weird.
60s Star Trek is weird. But yes, they're reading this and I'm like, oh, yeah, no, this is like totally lines up with all the stuff I like about there. And just show that they really didn't go far in their research for that.
Yes.
Forgive me for the obvious, probably stupid question, but who's Worf?
He's a Klingon.
No. I mean, in the book.
Oh.
I know who...
You know, I don't think Worf fits, because the thing with Worf is that he exists outside of Klingon culture, because of it, he, like, believes in it too much. Like, he very much has that, like, I learned about my people's culture from books and not actually meeting people, and it really fucks him up when he actually meets Klingons. So what he actually is a Three Kingdoms otaku who is sent to the Three Kingdoms like an isekai.
Oh, man. Oh,
that also exists. That is also a real thing. I was posting on Twitter, so you both know, but I'm putting on the podcast, that's real.
Yeah.
But just
there's a not an anime.
That could be the greatest Star Trek Next Generation arc that never happened, which is the arc where they all get trapped in, you know, a holodeck Three Kingdoms, and Worf is the only one who's aware of it, and is like, oh man.
They got trapped in basically everything else. There's literally an episode of Voyager in season one where the Doctor has to reenact Beowulf. So, you know.
Sure.
We've strayed from the Star Trek path.
Yes, we have. Anyway, we should talk about this book. We're already 10 minutes into this.
No, we're just having a new podcast riffing on things for 2 hours. Yeah. But let's get into the first chapter this week, which is called Chapter 19, Cao Cao Battles Fiercely at Zipei. Zipei, and Lubu falls at White Gate Tower.
Like a Lubu waterfall. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. What's happening last time? Let's turn the page back a second. And remember the cliffhanger we had?
Zhao Dun ate his eye. He ate his own eyeball.
Yeah, he did do that.
He did do that.
But it was even eating his own eyeball was not enough to stop Lubu from sieging Xuanda City, and he was moving in for the kill. Does he pull it off, Redon?
Yeah. Does Xuanda survive? And yeah, he's fine.
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's this great bit where he's going up to Xuanda's house to like just raise everything to the ground, and I have a selection here. I have a couple selections throughout this three chapters. Mizhu talks to him, and he's like, a true hero would not destroy a man's family. It's Cao Cao and Cao Cao alone who contends with you for the Empire. Xuanda will never forget how you saved his life when your arrow hit the halberd's side blade. He is a true friend and has joined Cao Cao because he had to. If only you could sympathize with his position. Which is very funny given how things are going to go for Lubu in this chapter.
Yeah.
But Lubu listens because Lubu is very good at listening to everyone who ever tells him to do a thing ever, to his ruin.
The man just has no brain. He's just going to keep going. Yeah. He's got a big sword and a big horse.
I feel like the only times he doesn't listen to people is when people are like, you would lose that fight. And he says, no, I wouldn't. And then he does.
So Xuanda's fleeing Lubu's army, of course, and he gets taken in by like a hunter, and he's like, oh, Xuanda, I have to provide something for you for dinner. And he doesn't have anything because everyone is destitute because this is a bad time to be in ancient China. And so what he does is he butchers his wife and feeds Xuanda her body. And when Xuanda finds out about it after the fact, he weeps tears of joy that someone would sacrifice so much for little old him, which is particularly ghastly.
Yeah.
I wonder if this is in the Gundam show.
I assume not.
I assume this is one of the bits that is just kind of not mentioned. Because
mm-hmm.
The point of it is just look at how much the people are sacrificing just for Lubu, not Lubu, Lubei. But it's Cao Cao like once Lubei returns and tells Cao Cao of this, rewards the man handsomely.
Mm-hmm. Always chop off your wife's arms; it pays.
Yep. So Cao Cao's riding to intercept Lubu's army. Chen Deng, who's with Lubu but working for Cao Cao and Xuanda, like he's a bro. He is like, I'm gonna go survey Cao Cao's army in the night, and then just shoots notes letting him know about Lubu's position into Cao Cao's camp, which is great. Lubu, not aware of how much he is totally screwed here.
No, he's so unaware of his fates.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And then with all that happening, Lubu is attacked, surprised, basically gets his army stomped. And in that attack, all of the three brothers are reunited. And Cao Cao's like, you guys, you're the heroes. Come and celebrate because you're all awesome. And they do because they are.
They do get some really cool, like just doing some fighting paragraphs.
Yes.
Which is nice. Just like, look, they rode on, they crushed the army, they are cool as hell. And I'm like, yeah, you know what, they're pretty cool.
Yep.
Shang Fei back in my good graces for who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not very long.
We shall see how this goes.
Don't say that. You know how this goes. You know he's going to break my heart again.
I like Shang Fei.
Okay, all right.
I don't. He fucking sucks.
I mean, he sucks, but you know, I like the brothers.
Yeah, I mean, like part of the, I feel like part of this book is most of the people you like partially because they suck.
That's the thing that I've settled on for Zhang Fei is like what kind of character he reminds me of. He's like any version of Mark Wahlberg who's playing someone's like brother in a movie where he's just the shitbag who's gonna like go too far.
Ready for that, but you're spot on.
We had a talk about not making me laugh too hard, and I'm fighting it because this is gonna hurt. But you're wrong.
Anyway, so Lu Bu is held up in his city as Cao Cao lands, and he's like, hey, you were gonna marry into the traitor's family. I'm in charge, and I don't know what you're thinking, but it's not gonna work. Like, he's not gonna be emperor. You're not gonna be lieutenant to the emperor. I was fine with you. There was no reason to rebel. You are causing problems that don't need to be problems. Mm-hmm. And Lu Bu's like, well, let me think about it. But then Chen Gong fires an arrow at Cao Cao to get shit started because he's not here to let everyone sit down at the table. It's time for Lu Bu to get his. And then Lu Bu's like retreating into his castle. He's like drinking. He's like, should I go out and fight? And his advisor's like, no, don't go out and fight. That would be a terrible thing to do. And his advisor's like, we have plans. They're good plans. They will work. And he's like, nah, but my wife say I shouldn't do that because it's dangerous.
He's literally doing the, again, very like American movie trope of gotta check with headquarters.
Yep.
Thing. And he just kind of stays inside and drinks with his wife.
So Lu Bu is like, well, I'm stuck. I can't leave. My wives say I can't go fight, so I need help. And so he's going to go and talk to Yuan Shu. He's like, oh, help me out. And Yuan Shu's like, you were supposed to give me your daughter. You didn't. You fucked this up. I need her immediately if I'm going to help you. I need a safeguard against this. So you need to send her, and then I'll help. But then when the messengers are riding back with that response, Cao Cao captures them, all but one of them, and kills them. And they're like, okay, we're gonna do this. And then I wrote here Zhang Fei bristles at orders, but I don't remember where this happened. Why was Zhang Fei being mad at
him? Zhang Fei's mad because he was like, hey, we caught these messengers, and Cao Cao didn't even reward us. And Xuan's like, he's fucking busy.
Oh, marked here. Okay. So Zhang Fei's like, what the hell? We have them. And he's like, why? We just captured one of Lu Bu's rebel commanders. And Xuando goes, we must take care not to permit the least violation of Cao Cao's command. And then Zhang Fei's like, Cao Cao's not rewarding us. All he's doing is giving us orders. We should do what we want. And Xuando's like, no, he commands the entire army. This is what we do. We follow orders. We're in the army. We agreed to this, so we have to follow the rules.
Yes. No, Zhang Fei is basically like, why aren't we being like celebrated for every single thing we do? Because like, Cao Cao's a shit and is like doing some conniving stuff. This isn't one of those things. He's just in charge of the army.
So Lu Bu gets the one messenger like, oh, they really need your daughter if they're going to help. And so he's like, okay, well, we're surrounded, so it's going to be hard. The thing I'm going to do is I'm going to dress my daughter up like a soldier and ride her out myself, because that's the only way I'm going to be able to break the blockade, because I'm Lu Bu and these other guys are not Lu Bu. And so he does that. But unfortunately, he's up against the main characters who are ready for him and just surround him and force him back into the city. And then Cao Cao has a great plan, which is to flood the fucking city.
Yep.
He's gonna divert the water from the river. It's very cool.
Yes.
It's the one time that I actually believe someone when they say this, because a lot of times an advisor will go, I think we should do this cool thing, and then Cao Cao or whoever will go, exactly what that's just what I was thinking. But this time he actually interrupts him mid thing to say he goes, don't tell me that you want to. Oh no, that's Sun Wenru saying that. Okay, so I take it back. Cao Cao didn't come up with this at all.
Mm-mm. Well, you know, Cao Cao's greatest characteristic of listening to good advice remains.
Yeah, well, yes. I think that's true.
Yeah, I think that's true also. Like, leading is knowing when an idea is good, right?
Yeah, no, I wasn't being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so all this is happening. Everything's flooded. Everything's shit. Lu Bu's in his drink, and his men decide it's time to steal his horse, present it to Cao Cao, and then capture Lu Bu because they're tired of his shit. And they're like, if we capture him, this will be over. We can all go home. We definitely won't be executed for being a traitor.
Yep. I love the weird, like, okay, we know we've lost. We're probably going to get executed. How the fuck do we avoid getting executed? Nature of this stuff.
Just deliver the greatest horse who ever lived.
It's a really cool horse.
Jackson, do we ever hear about red hair again?
Do you want me to say? I have an answer to this.
I can bleep it. Should I bleep it out?
Yes, red hair continues throughout this book.
Really? Yeah. That's fantastic. I was thinking it would be like Dao-chan, where like we've heard her name once or twice, but after her great scheme, now she's just sort of hanging around, and it bums me out.
Nope.
Okay.
Anyway, they present Lu Bu to Cao Cao, and he's like, okay, fine to go. And then Chen Gong, they're like, okay, that guy helped us out, but he's a traitor, so kill him. And they're like, well, excuse me, but no, he gets murdered. Goodbye. And then they're like, because you helped us out, we're going to make sure your family's taken care of, but you definitely have to die because you can't be trusted. You were playing all sides here. And he's led away. And then Lu Bu's like, Zhuanda, please help me out. Like, we've been bros. We helped each other over and over again. It's been great. Please don't think about every time this happened. I wheeled on you instantly and attacked you. And Shonda's like, no, I've been thinking about how every time we did this, he wheeled on me instantly and attacked me. I think it's time for you to get fucking dead. And then they drag him off to get strangled. And there's a nice little poem about Lu Bu's death, which I have marked here to read.
Yeah.
The flood tide surged and swamped his last stronghold. His own men led him bound before his foes. What use now his thousand-li steed? And where was his many-bladed halberd? Coward now, the tiger looks for mercy. Never give the hunting hawk its fill. Fooled by Cao's words, woman doting, spurned by Chen Gong's warning plea, what right had he to blame the long-eared one's bad faith?
Then there's the next bit is like an incredible poem about Zhuanda.
Yes. Do you want to read that?
Yeah, I got that. No mercy for the tiger when he's tied. Of Yuan and Zhou, the bloody memory's fresh. Though why not spare Bu as a son for Cao, knowing of his taste for father flesh?
Yes.
Just like, fair enough. Understand why you should turn, why you like not going to give Lu Bu the time of day. But you, if you just gifted him to Cao Cao, it probably would have taken care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Zhang Liao is led before Cao Cao, and he's like, do you remember me, Cao Cao? And he's like, yeah, of course, you suck. Then Zhang Liao's like, oh, well, I'm happy to be murdered by you, you traitor. And so Cao Cao goes to get him killed, but someone stays his hand, literally pulling his arm back as he like raises his sword, and is like, hey, you shouldn't do that. Who would do such a thing?
No idea who that could
probably
be.
Probably Zhang Fei. He's a measured, you know, reasonable guy.
Before we get into that chapter, I just want to talk a little bit about how much I liked all the and the way all the Lu Bu stuff wrapped up.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
I like, this is probably the first time we really see, Zhuanda, like, really stand his ground on something that, like, he truly believes in. Like, his whole thing is that his aspiration is to be the best he can be at whatever he's doing, which means he's not particularly ambitious, and that is seen as, like, a noble trait in this book, which is fine. But, like, because of that, he often gets played because he's willing to give people a lot of rope. And it's nice to see that he has limits to that generally. Like, he's not a fool. He's just kind of a person who believes that everyone should go along and get along. But you can abuse that, and then you're fucking dead to him. Uh-huh. And then you're dead.
Yeah, no, it's a really good moment, because it's like, it works on multiple levels of, like, you get Zhuanda finally being like, no, I'm just gonna just let you fucking die, because that's what you need to get. And also, I just like... Lu Bu still being like, you know, you all at one point, every single one of you was nice to me, so you're all full of shit too, which is like, he's wrong, but I do appreciate him kind of being like the mask off version of like everyone, because everyone has kind of gone through a couple masters at this point, right?
Sure.
And like, because you meant to have the comparison between him and Chen Gong, who's also like defected from Cao Cao's Lu Bu, but is much more like quiet and accepting of how this has gone, right? He just like makes sure my family's okay and doesn't give Cao Cao any satisfaction. It's good. Like, this is where I feel like a lot of the, you know, understand what the book's saying and why it's like a thing that was important at the time, right? Because it's pretty obvious how I was like, this is the kind of person you should be, and you should not be like Lu Bu.
Uh-huh.
Don't be a shit.
It's also, I feel like, really important that, like, I mean, this is, we're like a sixth of the way through this book and Lu Bu is dead. And that's like, they are willing, you know, like just last week we were on this podcast. Well, unfortunately you weren't with us, but I was like, oh, Lubu's in trouble, but like, they're not gonna kill him. It's, you know, there's so much book left. They're willing to fucking do it.
Yeah.
I mean, history does happen. They gotta stick to some parts of history.
Yeah, I just, you know, the pacing of the book or whatever, I don't know. I figured I just didn't figure they would pull a move like this.
People have gotten out of much more difficult spots than this.
True. True. Lubu is truly, like, if anyone ever had like put his head in his own noose, it's Lubu. What an idiot.
I mean, but like, also Lubu's reputation and like fandom in modern kind of like adaptation to this, right, doesn't come from his importance to the book. It's because of him being a really cool guy who can kill things. Like, he's important to Dynasty Warriors and everything, but I don't think he's not like brought up as an important character in the text. So I think this is more just us coming to it from where we are.
Yeah, like, I knew about Lubu because of game memes, right? Like,
yeah,
he was like a major character, and what he actually is just like
the first level boss.
Yeah, the first big boss that you wipe against a couple times and you beat him.
Yeah, as opposed
which
to...
is like exactly what happens here.
Yeah, well, in Dynasty Warriors, he's like he's ancient China's version of the Nemesis.
Hmm.
Like,
okay, that makes sense.
Because, like, I mean, like, even, like, and I mean that even, like, mechanically, like, in those games, like, a lot of them, if you go and fight him, like, he has infinite, like, you will hit him with a spear and he won't even flinch, and he'll just, like, hit you for half your health bar. They make him this monster. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a large part of why he's left a big impression on Western minds.
Yep, but even before that, like, you know, he is, like, a popular minor character because he's so cool and good at fighting. So I understand how this happened, but yes, I was not that shocked when Lubu fell.
Well, aren't you special? Let's move on to chapter 20.
Oh, thank you. No, in fact, let's not. That's fine. Chapter 20, Cao Cao leads the royal hunt near the capital. Dong Cheng receives a mandate in the palace.
So Swando's like, hey, you shouldn't kill Zhong Liao. He has a true and guileless heart. And then Cao Cao throws a sword down. He's like, yeah, I know, I was just joking. Don't worry about it.
Incredible scenes.
Yes. Then I have, for the rest of this page, I just write, Zhuanda celebrated. Because nothing happens other than everyone gets a promotion.
Yep, everyone gets hella promotions for beating Liu Bu.
Yeah. So
level up.
So everyone goes back to the capital, and Zhuanda is now shown to the emperor, and the emperor's like, hey, you're like related to me, right? And he's like, oh yeah, I guess I am. And they read out the register of family ties and everything. Like, okay, cool. You're the imperial uncle. That's great. I'd love a father figure that's not trying to control me because I'm 9 years old and you seem like a stand-up guy. And Zhuanda's like, I would be happy to serve. So that's what's happening with him. Meanwhile, everyone is really mad that Cao Cao's really into just like murdering everyone who stands in his way, and is having struggles with the court, who are like, hey, you can't just murder people every time they violate edicts.
I have to read the line.
Okay.
Okay, so on the strength of this argument, Cao Cao released Yang Biao and sent him home to his village. There was a conflict there, but the important part is when court counselor Zhao Yan, indignant at Cao Cao's high-handed rule, accused the prime minister of lese majesty in arbitrarily arresting high ministers, Cao Cao arrested Zhao Yan and had him killed.
Yes. It's really good.
Fair enough. Well.
So everyone's now a big happy family at court, and Cao Cao's like, well, we're chilling. There's no war right now. We should all go hunting. So they all go hunting, and that includes the emperor, and that includes Zhuanda and everybody. So they're hunting. The emperor, of course, I reiterate, is 9 years old. Not really seems like he's like the hunting type. He's been cooped up in a palace as people rule in his name for his entire life. So he's not really into it, and Cao Cao's like, well, let me show you what to do. So he takes the imperial bow and fires and kills a boar? I didn't write down what he fought. A boar, a deer, something like that, right?
I think it's a bull.
Okay.
Well, it's a stag.
Oh, it's a stag. Okay. So he shoots down the stag. Everyone sees that it was fired from the royal bow because it's the royal bow. Probably makes a cool sound when you fire it. And they're like, oh, the emperor shot down the stag. And they ride up and know it's Cao Cao. And Cao Cao's like, yeah, I did that shit. And then doesn't hand the bow back, but just tucks it away. And this so enrages everyone that Lord Guan almost rushes at Cao Cao in this moment to try to kill him. And Swan just like, no, no, no. You can't start shit right here. We're in the middle of a hunting party. All these people are Cao Cao's men.
just doing a slight correction here. I was just looking up some dates. at some point in this chapter, the Emperor writes down a thing that says it's year 199. That's when Lubu died, is 199. He is 18 years old. The Emperor is 18 years
old. When he was put in place, he was 9, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's
been a while.
Yeah,
okay. It's been a while. I didn't realize it had been that many years.
Yeah, the book isn't like amazing at pointing out exactly how long it's been.
Yeah.
Sometimes it'll like put up a note. But like it's this all this kicked off. When was the other time running? It was like 180.
You know, this makes a lot of sense for what's going forward, but it does kind of like even further drive. Like he's been cooped up like a decade in the palace with like nothing to do other than like worry that someone's gonna come and murder him someday.
Yeah, it 189 was when this started for him. God. Was when the Dongzhou stuff went off. So this is literally a decade after that.
Yeah, and later we find out he doesn't even have like a pen in his like palace. He's not allowed to have those things.
No,
and like I am not a fan of the emperorship as a thing. That's not a preferred form of government for me. But like, Sasa's such a piece of shit here. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
He like the you know they see the royal arrow and they cheer like long life to the emperor, and Sasa's like, yeah, thanks, like,
yeah, no,
okay, fuck off.
He's taking liberties with his station for sure. Yeah.
And Xuanda's like, oh, that was a really good shot, and he's like, oh, it's just this sick bow, thanks for the bow. And it's like, fuck off. Yes.
I also really like that it's Lord Guan who leaps forward in this, because he's been like very even keeled. Like, he's a tough guy, but he's definitely the one who's just gonna look for Xuanda for guidance on stuff. But even he is so enraged that he's ready to pull a Zhang Fei and fucking murder Cao Cao.
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you for the timeline thing. I did not realize it had been 10 years.
I think it's when there's a bit coming up where he writes 199 or something. Uh-huh. And that is also when Lu Bu died. So,
yeah.
Yes. All of this stuff happens in, like, 1 year. But when there's war, like, the war goes on for a while.
Yes. Long so, divided.
So Empress Yan's like, okay, well, this is untenable, obviously. He's actively just stealing my stuff and taking credit for being the emperor. I need to do something. So he decides he needs to get a message out. That's difficult because he's under lock and key and very watched. So he writes a message in blood on a piece of silk, right? Then he weaves it into garments he seals it in the hem of garments that he's going to give to Dong Sheng, who he thinks is a stand-up guy who will listen to him, that he's loyal to the imperial throne and not to Cao Cao. And so he invites him in and he's like, I have gifts for you. And he's like, no, I can't accept a gift from you, Emperor. And he's like, no, I really need you to take these gifts, and then I need you to go home and I need you to inspect them thoroughly. And he's like, okay, I guess. And he has to really like give him a time to convince him to take this. But he does. And then he's like, oh, yeah, good. Don't get stopped. Don't worry about it. And then he leaves and he immediately gets stopped and has to worry about it. And
like second he walks out the room.
And Sasa's like, ah, that's a nice brocade you got there. I want that. It's mine. And he's like, sir, this is given to me by the emperor. I'm sure if you ask the emperor, he could make you something even finer than what he'd give a lowly man like me. And Sasa's like, nah, I really want that one. And he's like, are you sure? And it's like, is stuff gonna pop off right here? And Sasa inspects the garments, sees that there's not a hidden message on them, and is like, okay, take him, leave. And he does. And then he comes home and he's like, oh, shit, if Sasa couldn't find them, I don't know if I'm gonna find them. And he spends all night looking for the message, only to fall asleep and then knock over what, his lamp, his incense, something like that, something on fire. Yes. And it burns away the interior lining and reveals inside the hem is the message written in blood. The message is really long. It's basically like, hey, you get together any stand-up men who still believe in the throne and get me the fuck out of here.
It is very funny being like, he wrote this in blood. This is a very formal,
yeah, it's, long it's, message. Yes, it's like 300 words and is like dated and signed and stuff. It's a lot.
Yes. That's the part where I was like, oh, 199. I need to make sure and note that on the podcast.
Yeah. You gotta imagine that there was a point where he was like, shit, I'm out of blood, and he had to prick himself again.
he finds this, he reads this, he falls asleep on it, he's like, okay. I literally like falls asleep with the message, and who walks in the next day but Wang Zifu, and he sees the message. He's like, what's this then? And picks it up, and Dong Cheng
wakes
up, and he's like, oh shit, this is the thing I wasn't supposed to show anyone. And he's like, oh,
terrible upset.
Yeah, he's like, oh, traitor. And he's like, no, you have to understand, I'm here to defend the honor of the empire. Cao Cao is not the empire. And he's like, you know what, right, I was just testing you, we're in agreement on this, we should go and do some shit. And they proceed to just do this to more and more people every time. They're like, oh, look at this. What do you think? It's like, oh, I absolutely not, traitor. And he's like, oh, but I thought it was a good idea. He's like, I also thought it was a good idea. I was testing you.
It's ridiculous. And they keep doing this, being like, we need to do some shit. We need to do some shit. But they, none of them can do anything.
Yeah, they're just like, they're like, just random. They're members of the court. They are not like generals or anything. It's like, okay, we don't have enough like resources here. We need to get some more conspirators. In fact, they're like, there's six of us. We need probably at least 10 people before we can start shit. Who are we going to get? And one of the people in this chain, Ma Teng, is like, I know exactly who we could get. And you're like, oh, who could that be? Would it be Zhuan De? And we are told to read on to find out that it is absolutely Zhuan De.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's even like, I know someone who's related to the emperor. And it's like, okay, this is your worst cliffhanger yet.
Come Who on. Could it be? Yes. Who could it be? This chapter, chapter 20 that we just read, was very good. I like it a lot.
Yes.
Chapter 21 is also great. I'm glad we get like a nice downtime chapter.
Yes.
I was like surprised to get that when I was originally first reading, because it's just time for like all of the main characters in one place.
Mm-hmm.
And they all get to hang out and get promotions.
Yep.
And it's very good.
So we head to chapter 21. Cao Cao warms wine and rates the heroes of the realm. Lord Guan takes Xu Zhao by stratagem and beheads Chi Zhou.
So they're like, okay, we recommend you go to Zhuan De and ask him. It's like, oh, okay, Emperor's uncle. I saw that he might have had a problem with the hunting thing, so you should definitely talk to him. He seems aligned with things. And he's like, okay, I'll have a talk. So he goes in the middle of the night to meet with Zhuan De, and he's like, why would you come in the middle of the night? And he's like, I couldn't risk coming by day. I'm going to just read this whole thing.
Oh, please.
Yes. I couldn't risk coming by day, Dong Cheng replied. Cao would have suspected something. Zhuan De called for wine, and Dong Cheng went on. The other day at the hunt, Lord Guan seemed set to kill Cao Cao, but you motioned him off. Why? Taken by surprise, Zhuan De parried the question, asking, how do you know that? No one else noticed, Dong Cheng said, but I did. Unable to maintain his pose of indifference, Zhuan De answered, my brother, outraged by Cao's insolent ambition, acted impulsively. Dong Cheng hid his face and wept. If only the vassals at court compared with Lord Guan, he cried, the peace of the land would be assured. Wondering if Cao Cao had sent the imperial brother-in-law to sound him out, Zhuan De said, with his excellent Cao Cao in power, is not the peace of the land already well assured? Dong Cheng's face stiffened as he rose. It is only because you're the emperor's uncle that I opened my heart and soul to you. Why have you played me false? He asked. Lest you play me false, imperial brother-in-law, Zhuan De admitted at last. I had to test you. Dong Cheng then produced the secret edict. Dismay and indignation welled up in Zhuan De as he read the emperor's sacred words. This, like, testing each other off is amazing.
It's so good. And then everyone does the incredibly genius move of all writing their names down.
Yes, I'm sure this will not blow up in their face eventually.
I don't understand why you do that.
Yes.
Well, I assume,
but they all write.
I was guess that it's so that like if it comes out, they're all sort of committed. They can't just be like, oh, I didn't know anything about this. It's like, listen, if we get caught, we're all gonna go down swinging together.
Yeah,
I assume that's it as well. You know, the very simple thing, like we're all incriminated equally, so no one can betray us, type thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But still,
so Zhuan De, great guy. Good at strategy, good at listening to people, not a spy master. So he immediately goes home and is like beset with anxiety. And he's like, shit, I can't let anybody know. What am I going to do? And he decides to go fuck around in his garden to throw off Cao Cao's like, but if he thinks I'm gardening, he's not going to think I'm plotting shit. Lord Guan and Zhang Fei come up and like, gardening? Why are you gardening? We have a whole realm to deal with. China is in bad situation and you're here digging the dirt. And he's like, don't ask me about it. It's just a thing I have to do. You wouldn't want to hear about it. And they're like, okay, I don't know if that's true, and ride off.
This is like, Zhuan De has been like DM'd some Twitter dirt that he can't talk about.
Yes.
And doesn't know how to deal with it, even in the slightest. He's like, I'm just gonna do my gardening, because nobody will suspect me of plotting if I just do nothing but garden for years.
Yes. So then, a couple days later, as he's gardening, a couple of Cao's generals ride up and like, hey, Sal wants you. And then he's like, what, is it an emergency? Like, we don't know. He just said, come get you. And I'm like, oh, okay. And so he goes and follows the men to Sao Sao's residence. And then I have the whole thing here. A smiling Sao Sao greeted Xuanda. That's quite a project you have underway at home, he said in a tone that turned Xuanda's face pale as dust. Taking Xuanda's hand, Sao led him into his own garden. You have taken up a most difficult occupation in horticulture, Sao continued. Just to while away the time, Xuanda answered, relieved. There's nothing else to occupy me.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. This whole conversation's amazing.
It's such a good scene.
And so Sasa's like, yeah, I have these plums. I don't really know what to do with them. People love plum wine, but you know, I'm the emperor. I'm not a gardener. And he's like, we need to sit down and have a talk about things. And he's like, oh no, is this a problem? He's like, no. I need to ask you to tell me who you think the heroes of China are. And he's like, I don't know if I'm the person to ask. I wouldn't know a hero if I saw one. And he's like, no. You tell me who the heroes of China are. And Xuanda goes on to name like 10 people. And every time Sasa's like, that guy's old. That guy sucks. That guy's useless. That guy has no power. I'm going to murder that guy next week. And he's like, you know what? Actually, I think there's two heroes of China. There's me and there's you. And Xuanda's like, excuse me. I don't know about that. And then as he says that, Xuanda is panicking and drops his chopsticks. But thankfully, heaven itself intervenes. And in that moment, there is a thunderclap of a storm approaching. And when Sasso's like, why'd you drop your chopsticks? He's like, it was the thunder. It was only the thunder, my lord. And he's like, you dropped your chopsticks to the thunder? That seems like a pretty cowardly thing to do. And he's like, but didn't Confucius himself have a fear of thunder? And he's like, oh, you know what? You got me there. Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Yes.
Does that come up in the Analects, by the way?
No, I don't remember.
Huh. It's not, they're not really about him. They're like collections of things he didn't write it. It's things he said to his followers to collect it after the fact.
Yeah. Gosh, I really hate thunder.
Yeah, that's it's not, yes, no. I think that's one of them.
Anyway, while they're here having this like tense moment, Lord Guan and Zhang Fei leap into the garden, clearly like, oh, they took him, they're gonna kill him, we have to go stop him. And Sao Sao's like, what are you two doing here? As they're just like having a drink, and like we thought we'd perform a dance for you. And then start like mimicking like they're about to do a sword dance. He's like, look, the last guy did a sword dance, I had to murder. Don't do a sword dance for me. It'll be bad. I don't like sword dances. And they defuse the moment and, break up, and they leave goodbye, and Xuanda leaves. It's all very good. And Lord Guan's like, oh, I thought that he was going to murder you. And he's like, oh, you came at the right time. I was trying to be clever, but I don't know if he was going to buy it. And you leaped in and distracted him. Good job.
He's like, I told him it was the thunder. And yes, the brothers marveled at Xuanda's quickness.
Yes. So the next time they're talking about like, you know, wars happening in the regions, like, you know, around China, there's a lot of shit going on. And as Xuanda's hearing this, he's like, look, if you need someone to lead an army, I'd love to lead an army. I'm just gardening. I have nothing to do. The garden's fine, but it's much better if I lead an army. And so he leaps at the chance to take his forces out.
It's specifically they are worried that Yuan Shao and Yuan Shu are going to combine their forces because they're in the north.
Yes.
And they are the biggest threats right now. And if they can stop fucking about between each other and get their armies together, then that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah, I didn't take any notes about that stuff. So
okay, you. So Yuan Shu is like, he is at a point where he has just completely lost it, where he's like, okay, I've got this imperial seal, I've got some men, but I'm just depressed, I'm holed up, I'm drinking all the time. And like, fuck it, I might as well give my shit to my brother, because I'm clearly a waste of space.
Yep.
It's like when you are playing, like, you're playing a board game, I don't know, I'll do Monopoly as an example. You're playing Monopoly, and you're like, okay, I'm tired of this, I'm giving all my money and property to this person, and everyone's like, what, you can't do that?
Yeah.
Just going back to the bit where Sao Sao was talking to Xuanda about the heroes, the thing he says about Yuan Shu and Yuan Shao are this. Xuanda asks about Yuan Shu, and Sao responds, dry bones, Sao laughed, rattling in the grave, sooner or later I will have him. Or Yuan Shao then, Xuanda suggested. For four generations, the Yuans have held high office, and many officials have served under them. Shao has a firm grip on Jizo, where he is supported by capable men. Would you count him? His expression is fierce enough, Sao said, but his courage is thin. He enjoys conniving, but lacks decision. He plays for high stakes, but begrudges personal sacrifice. Spots a minor gain and risks his life. No hero he! So that is the important things to know about going into the part where it's time to fight those guys.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, don't have a whole lot about them in these notes. I was much more interested in the Shwanda Sasao thing.
Sure.
Me too, but this is also like the main plot of the book.
Okay.
So I felt like obligated to... to put that in.
Okay.
But yes, all the Zwanda and Sasa stuff is like the actual.
Yeah, so meat, so right? Sasa sends Zwanda out with 50,000 men, but sends two of his own generals along with them, like three generals to command all these troops. The emperor is like, what are you doing? Why are you leaving? You're my imperial uncle. I need you here. He's like, no, I need to go. And then Dong Cheng's like, what about our whole conspiracy? He's like, look, I'm going to have an army. I'm going to be out of the city where Cao Cao can't see me. That's the best place for me right now. And then he tells Lord Guan and Zhang Fei, I want to fight this battle. I want to get out. It's too much in there. Just a whole lot of bullshit. Time to clear our heads and be the three brothers like we hoped. And so they ride out. The Cao Cao's advisors are like, why did you give him military command? We wanted you to kill him. We've been saying that all along. You just need to do that. And he's like, I don't know. I thought it was a good idea. And like, no, bring him back before he takes the army and flees. So he's like, he's not going to do that, but okay, I'll send some men. And so he sends them out to go meet with Zhuanda. He spots them and talks to them. He's like, what's up? He's like, Cao Cao wants you back at court. He's like, well, the emperor told me to lead this army and I'm following imperial decree. Because I'm a general and following imperial decree, I don't really have to listen to a summons to go back until the war's over and I fulfill my duty. So no, I'm not going to do that, but thank you very much for asking. And sends them away. And when they go back to Cao Cao and tell him that, he's like, well, he was really polite about it. It makes sense. I mean, he's being watched, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Yep. Oh, it's so good. This book's incredible.
Yep.
Yeah, the guy who was sent to get Shwanda is like, well, I mean, I was supposed to bring him back, but the report said that I shouldn't use force, and Shwanda's argument makes a lot of sense, so I guess I'll just go?
Yep. So he gets some scouting. Zhuangsha is given the imperial title to Yuan Shao. They're ready to go, but they're going to come this way, so we can just, you know, go fight him. We're going to beat him up. which they do.
Yeah.
Yep, they do.
So, just some battling. They beat him up. The seal is taken and is delivered to Cao Cao, so he has the imperial seal now. Good job, everyone.
Yuan Shu dies.
Yep.
He does his classic like meet Shwanda, and he's like, "Oh, you fucking peasant! How dare you!" And then immediately gets owned.
Yep.
And so he retreats and asks like. Is having a hard time with the hard rations that he has left, and asks his cook for some honeyed water to try and make it easier for him. And the cook's like, sweetie, we don't have any honey. And Shu just coughs up blood and dies.
You know. So Zhuanda reports, successful, killed Yuanxia. Who he sends back to report this are the two generals who he sends, but leaves the army because, like, we have to watch the city. We just captured it. We need to make sure it's secure. So I'm going to keep all these men here, and I'm going to send you two to talk to Cao Cao. Which they do! And Cao Cao's like, I'm going to murder both of you for being so stupid. But Sun Wenro is like, look, Zhuanda had authority. They had to obey. You put him in charge. This is your fault. And Cao Cao's like, you know what? Fair enough. This one's on me.
Yep.
And he's like, okay, you need to go to the protector of Zhuzhou. I don't know how to say this. The city.
I would say Zhuzhou.
Zhuzhou, okay, who's Che Zhu, and have him work against Rhonda from within. So he does, and he turns to Chen Deng for advice. Chen Deng's like, okay, well, Shwanda's out, because he's like out in the countryside trying to calm everyone down, put down any like rabble rouses or whatever, get people back into work so everything can run smoothly, because he actually does care to make sure everything is done properly. That's just the kind of guy he is. We're going to put all of our men on the city wall, and when he comes back, we're just going to murder him. We're just going to shoot him. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And so they do that, and then he tells his father. His father's like, no, you can't just do that. Go tell him that we're going to do this so he's prepared, at least, because he's a stand-up guy. We don't want to get him murdered. This is conniving. And so they do that, and he's like, okay, what are we going to do? And Zhang Fei's like, well, let's attack them. And your Lord Guan's like, well, that's stupid. They're in the town. We're not in the town. We need to have a plan. So what they're going to do is they're going to pretend to be Cao Cao's army approaching and get Che Zhu to come out, and then we'll kill him. And Zhang Fei's like, okay, that's a pretty good plan. And so they do that, and Chaisha is smart enough to go, I don't know about that. That seems like a trap. And so he calls down at them, like, I don't think you're Cao Cao's army. I think you might be a trap. And they're like, well, if Xuando sees us, he's going to attack us. So you need to let us in really quickly, because we're definitely Cao Cao's army. And he's like, I don't know about that. And let's see, he decides to go out himself and see them. He's like, okay, I'll verify myself and then we'll let you in. So he comes out, rides up, sees that it is definitely not Cao Cao's army, and gets murdered.
I look like, I'm definitely not letting you in because you're clearly a trap. Well, I'm going to go out to meet you.
What actually happens is he rides up, sees that it's Zhang Fei and not, Zhang Liao. And he rides back to town. But unfortunately, Chen Deng was already prepared to like backstab him and fires on him as he approaches and captured by Lord Guan and get his head cut off. Gives to Xuando. He's like, okay, this is what they did. They were going to kill you. And Xuando's like, well, y'all did a good thing. Of course, now that Cao Cao knows that we know, we definitely are going to have a war. So I guess we're just going to have to prepare for that.
Yep. And the chapter of everyone trying to like, okay, how do we eliminate this guy without it like being a problem? Because we're clearly rivals, but I don't want to have a war. And then they fucked up.
Yep. Chen Deng's like, well, I have a plan. What is that plan? We'll have to read on.
Important to note, just going back, one thing I didn't want to mention is that after Yuan Shu's death, it says his nephew Yin fled to Lujiang and was captured by Zhilu, who was the one who brought the seal to Cao Cao. Xuanda did not send the imperial seal to Cao Cao.
Yeah.
We kind of brushed over that, but that's an important bit of context. It wasn't like Xuanda's like, well, we've got to send the seal back to Cao Cao because that would be a real stupid move.
Yep.
But he has it now.
Yeah.
Yep.
I love these chapters a lot.
Yeah, me too.
The book's good.
Book's very good.
I feel like it leaves us in a weird place, though.
In what way? I mean, like, it always, yeah, like, yes, but in what way?
I mean, just that it's so, like, the animosity between Xuanda and Cao Cao has never been so open, and it just seems like this has to... It has to turn into a real big mess real fast.
I have not turned the page, but what I half expect to happen is something else pops off and Cao Cao has to deal with that, and Xuanda is briefly forgotten as he gets to just marshal his forces.
That's fair. That might happen.
But, also, he has the seal. Maybe he's like, look, I'm basically emperor now. I don't need to worry about him. He's fine. He's a stand-up guy. As much as I might not like him, he's totally just going to take care of the realm that he's not in control of. I can worry about him later, and then worries about him far too late.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. I don't actually know this. Yeah, you know, but I don't. I did not turn the page and find out what happened.
I don't actually know what happens like immediately next.
Okay.
Some of the details are blurry. Because there's 120 chapters.
Yep.
But yeah, the book's good. Do we have any more final thoughts before we wrap up?
No, I like this book a lot. I would watch Cao Cao and Xuanda circle each other forever, which I guess we're going to, so good job, me.
Yeah, they are incredible rivals.
Yeah, because in many ways they are like very similar. It's just that Cao Cao has the ambition that is like the seen as the problem in the world, right? Like,
yes,
like Xuanda cares about doing the best he can in whatever station fate delivers to him. Cao Cao wants to do the best he can in the highest station he can grasp, and he's good at that. But that in itself is like an evil in the like ideology of the book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. And also there's like Cao Cao not really differentiate. Like there's an argument about Cao Cao to be had, which is like, does Cao Cao want to be in charge because he knows he is the best at being in charge? Or does Cao Cao want to be in charge because he wants to be in charge, right?
Those can both be true.
Those can both be true, but like, I think that the book doesn't like make a statement on this either way, right? Like it's because it's for as much as it's like, and then like the book clearly is arguing for Xuanda in these chapters.
I mean, yeah, the book also clearly believes that like, unless you are like in the imperial line, the idea that you think you are fit to lead makes you inequipped to lead. Like that is a bad thing to believe about yourself.
Yep. But I think that's interesting, and it's you know, there are arguments going on today about Cao Cao. There's always people I was listening to Shrieking Shack and seeing how people argue about Snape. People still arguing about Cao Cao thousands of years later, so...
Are you telling me that in a thousand years people are going to be arguing about Snape still?
Yes. Yes, that's exactly that's what hell. I'm telling you.
I hope we're all swallowed up by climate change, actually.
And on that note, it's time to go to the plug zone.
Yeah, you've been hosting, so you can find me and Jackson at normalmapping.com. We have a bunch of podcasts. The one I think that I would like most people to listen to is Abnormal Mapping itself. You can find it at thebestgame.club. Once a month, me and Jackson talk about a video game. We just recently talked about Hacknet. Six wrote in a very nice email about it. We had a really good time. I thought it was a really good discussion. So
yes,
listen to that. You can find me at EM_being on Twitter. You can find Jackson at headfallsoff.
Yeah, and if you want to know about Hacknet, that is the best place to learn, because I love Hacknet. I will not give you as good of an analysis as Hacknet, so I'll just be like, the music goes blah, and you type, and it's great.
It is pretty good.
The music does go blah. Can't deny this.
It's so good when it goes blah. Oh, man. As for me, I'm at SixDetmar on Twitter. Twitter, huh? Okay, Twitter.
Whoa!
SaxDetTmar. I got a pinned tweet there that tells you all the shows that I do, and I don't want to promote anything else. Like, honestly, these days, I want to promote this podcast, but apparently you're listening to it, so good.
Yeah. Jen should be back next week. You can find her at JBU3.
Yes.
That's it.
And that's it. Thank you very much for listening. Read on. Okay.